Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of In the Money. I'm Konstantin Vrondopoulos with Fidelity's Trading Strategy Desk. Alongside me, as always, Mr. Tony Zhang, Chief Strategist at Options Play. Tony, it's good to see you. I haven't been hosting for a few weeks. How are you doing?
Great to see you, KV. I'm doing well. A lot has happened in the market since we've last spoke, so happy to update everyone on what's going on.
That's great, Tony. Let's kick off the conversation today with your broader macro view and what you're seeing happening in markets on the index level, specifically a reason being of why this piece of the conversation is important is because we're going to be taking a little bit of a break for the next 3 weeks and only be back with our audience on July 10th. So how about we start off with what you're eyeing, what you're seeing, and what are you looking forward to over the next couple of weeks?
Before we break down kind of what we are, what has transpired and what I'm looking forward to, I think it's important just to look at kind of where is the S&P 500 trading. We're now within 2% of all-time highs. This is a pretty spectacular rally we've seen here off of the April lows. There are some signs that this rally, we've had a 25% rally off of the April lows. We've erased all of the losses from 2025. There are some signs that this rally is getting a little extended, and there's some signs of exhaustion here from buyers. As we saw at these higher highs and prices no longer being confirmed by momentum, which suggests that there is a higher risk of a short-term pullback here in the S&P 500. I'm eyeing the 5,700 level here on the S&P 500 for a potential pullback here. But overall, that would be a fairly minor pullback. That would be, I would say, healthy after a 25% rally to see some form of consolidation, some form of digestion and pullback here before we continue to move higher here. But overall, if you look at kind of the underlying macro conditions, things look fairly optimistic and fairly strong. You have job numbers that came out recently that were stronger than expected, even though we did revise lower the last couple of months by 95,000 jobs lower. But overall, the labor market remains fairly resilient with unemployment currently still at 4.5%. We had the inflation printout come out yesterday that came out slightly also better than expected. And the markets are now pricing in 2 rate cuts here for the rest of this year in September and December. And we're looking forward to the FOMC meeting here next week to help give us a little bit more guidance in terms of how the Fed is digesting the current data with regards to employment and inflation. I think the big thing that has been driving the markets here over the past few weeks, which is trade policy. I think there are also other, optimistic items to be looking at, specifically the trade deal with China. Hopefully we can see that get done. The news out of the president's office, the White House, is that we have a trade deal with China, but we do have the remaining deadline on July 9th with the unilateral tariffs that are meant to go in place here for the rest of the countries in the world. That I think markets are largely optimistic about the effects of that. I think the inflation print here yesterday was helpful for investors to feel that the tariffs have not had as much of an impact as some people were concerned about initially. And even what the flags that I've raised here over the last few weeks, which is the bond auctions. We saw softer bond auctions here a couple of weeks ago drive a little bit of volatility. We heard Jamie Dimon talk about concerns about cracks in the system in the bond market that would have showed up in the auctions. And earlier, just a few hours ago, we had the 30-year bond auction that was very well received and from the demand side. So bond markets are also seemingly a little bit more optimistic here for the broader market. So large and overall, if you look at everything in conjunction with each other, it seems like we have a fairly positive backdrop here for equities. Even though this equity rally in the short run looks a little bit overextended, I think you could see a little bit of a short-term pullback here in the next few weeks, especially as you go into some holidays with Juneteenth and July 4th, a little bit of thinner trading. You might see a little bit of a pullback, a little bit of volatility, but overall, I think we're looking a lot stronger than we did a couple of months ago.
Tony, thank you so much. I mean, certainly lots to unpack. Let me ask you a question about the technical terminology that you used a little earlier, sort of buyer exhaustion or negative divergence. When price of the S&P 500 is making higher highs, but momentum as measured by RSI is not. Could you speak a little bit to this particular event or occurrence? Is it a warning? Is it a signal? How do you interpret it?
Yeah, it's generally used as a warning. It's a good sign that, a rally in this particular case, when we see negative divergence, it's a sign that a rally is potentially at a point where, the buyers are getting exhausted, meaning there are fewer buyers at this stage where there's a higher probability of a pullback here for sellers to step in. We're also, within the spitting distance of the all-time highs. So naturally, you have quite a bit of supply here coming up here in the next 1 to 2% range here on the S&P 500. So when you look at all of those things in conjunction with each other, there's just a higher probability of a short-term pullback here. But also just we've seen roughly 7 straight weeks of S&P 500 continue to move higher here, and markets don't just move straight up. They need time to digest. They need time to consolidate. And I think that we are, when we start to see these signs of exhaustion, that is a sign that there could be a bit of consolidation ahead.
And Tony, to the extent that we're discussing Jamie Dimon's commentary about cracks in the bond market potentially, I mean, what specifically would you be looking for to kind of evaluate whether or not we're starting to see some of those cracks? Is it just prices of bonds down, yields higher, or anything more specific?
Yeah, so usually, at these treasury auctions, probably the most important metric to look at is the bid to cover ratio, meaning how many bids are there relative to, the amount of treasuries that are available. And this particular auction came out, where the bids were actually higher than what we were expecting. So the yield on the 30-year auction ended up being lower than what the Treasury Department thought it would be, before the auction. So it's a combination of yields and the bid to cover ratio. The last 30-year auction came in a little softer than expected, and that's when yields actually ended up higher than what the Treasury was hoping to sell those bonds at. And that was the big concern here, was that if going forward, the U.S. Treasury was going to have to pay a higher coupon rate on these longer-dated bonds, that was going to have a meaningful impact in the long run to the interest payments that the Treasury Department is going to have to pay to service these bonds. And it's not just here in the US, right? We saw it also in Japan as well. We saw that weak bond auction out of Japan, where the bid to cover ratio was 2, when the normal is closer to 3. That was a pretty substantial weak auction here on that 40-year bond auction here in Japan. So there was concerns that we're going to see some of that here in the US as well. But it seems like on the back of the recent job numbers, the inflation print yesterday, perhaps even considering the trade war negotiations, all in all, it seems like the bond vigilantes so far are taking a more optimistic tone here right now.
Yeah, no cracks just yet, not today anyway. So we'll keep looking out for them. Tony, let's shift gears a little bit. With that backdrop in mind, what is the specific trade idea that you're bringing to the table today?
Yeah, I want to take a look at Walmart here because, similar to the rest of the market, Walmart is looking a little bit stretched. And I do think that we are entering an environment that is largely going to be somewhat challenging for Walmart, with kind of the looming tariffs, especially out of China. With 55% tariffs out of China, that's going to be hard for Walmart to manage, especially considering how thin the margins are on big box retailers like Walmart. A lot of investors are not familiar with that, and I think it's really important to consider that, especially when you look at just the high valuations that Walmart continues to command here at the moment. So if you look at a chart here for Walmart, it made an attempt to break out here above 100 back here in April, failed after the trade tariffs announcements. And recently, it's made a couple of more attempts at that $100 level, and each time it has failed. And I think there's some signs that buyers are starting to continue to get exhausted after what has been a strong rally here in the stock over the last year or so. And I think that you have a, you know, similar to the rest of the market, I think you have an opportunity where Walmart can potentially pull back a little bit, consolidate back to down to around the $90 level here on Walmart alongside with the rest of the market. But I think really kind of where you have to pay attention to here is the fact that Walmart trades at a very rich valuation, not a valuation that we haven't seen Walmart trade at since the 2008 financial crisis. You know, it doesn't matter whether you look at it on a forward earnings basis or if you're looking at a price to sales basis, both valuation metrics, Walmart is trading at more than double its industry peers. It's trading at 37.5 times forward earnings, which is more than double the 18 times that the rest of the industry commands. And it trades at 1.2 times sales, which is, again, also more than double the 0.5% sales ratio that typically the industry trades at. So, this would make sense if Walmart was growing substantially faster or they were substantially more profitable. But neither one of those two things are true. It grows at the exact same pace as the rest of the industry, and net margins are at 2.75%. You know, those are razor thin margins for a company to be trading at such rich valuations of 37 times forward earnings. So I think that when you factor into the tariff exposure that Walmart has, we've already seen them raise prices here in May, and they expect to raise more prices in June to consumers because it's harder and harder for them to pass on those gains to consumers. You know, that's going to squeeze their margins. The growth premium, there's a lot of optimism, I would say, around the e-commerce business that Walmart has successfully kind of turned that into a profitable business recently. And that's driven the kind of the valuation, the multiple expansion we've seen here in the last few years. But I think that that has already been, that's not really reflected in the growth expectations either. It's not expected to grow any faster. But it is kind of trading at this relatively high valuation. And I simply think that with rates continuing to remain elevated here, that this is the type of risk that Walmart, and these types of companies are going to have trading at such rich valuations. So I think that, alongside with the overall market, Walmart has the risk of, a bit of consolidation, a bit of pullback here after what has been a strong move, especially with such rich valuations. So I think the best way to play this is to take a more neutral view here on Walmart, meaning I believe that the upside potential here is fairly limited. So I'm going out to the July 11th expiration. I'm looking at selling the 95 by 100 call vertical here. Earlier today, you can collect about $2 for that credit spread. The July 25th weekly expiration, collecting about $2 for that credit spread. It's a $5 wide credit spread. And what that means is that if Walmart stays below $95 at that July 25th expiration, I'm going to make $200 on this particular trade. But if Walmart exceeds that $100 resistance level that I was talking about before, I'm only risking around $300 to the upside on a call spread like that. That's a risk to reward ratio that's incredibly favorable, risking only about 1.5 to 1 on a $5 wide credit spread. So as long as Walmart kind of stays where it is or moves lower, I'm going to be able to collect $2, or which is a little over 2% of the stock's value here based on the current prices of the stock.
Yeah, Tony, great breakdown. You've mentioned the valuation difficulties here at the current levels. You've mentioned the razor thin margins. It's going to take some creativity to maintain these margins, of course, in the environment that we're in, given that the tariffs on Chinese goods entering the country are at 55%. I want to remind everybody, Walmart, by the way, is also one of the largest employers in the United States. So that's something to keep in mind as they're trying to manage their costs. Specifically on the option strategy, Tony, I guess on this chart, on the Walmart chart, we are seeing the negative divergence as well. But here we're not only seeing the warning sign, the warnings, we're also seeing the signs, meaning the price actually started to roll over and it is kind of creeping ever so slightly to the downside, potentially breaking the short-term uptrend there. But the interesting part for me about the strategy is, what specifically about this time frame, this cycle that you think you're trying to take advantage of? You're doing a credit spread. You have a defined risk reward type of a ratio on this thing. But is there anything strategic about this specific time cycle that kind of accelerates your potential profitability if you end up being correct on your bearish neutral view, Tony?
Look, whenever I take these types of views, especially on a bearish trade, I really need to line up the technicals with the fundamentals here. And I think this is really a good example here where both look fairly, where the timing on the trade looks quite attractive here. And that negative divergence is really one of the key things I look for whenever I take a bearish position or a neutral position here on an underlying stock. But for me, the main story here is really the valuations, right? Most investors don't realize just how thin the margins are on a one of the biggest or the biggest retailer in the world. That 2%, that means for every $1 they generate in revenue, they're only earning 2 cents in net income. So those are going to be tough margins to maintain in this type of market environment. So and notice that I'm taking a neutral view here with the I'm not taking an outright short position. I'm not buying puts or put spreads. I'm taking a more neutral view here because I do, I do feel that, the overall economy is relatively strong. The U.S. consumer has continued to surprise us and remain fairly resilient in the long run. And, arguably, in a more challenging environment, Walmart with their relatively low prices are going to benefit from that type of environment, or at least gain some market share away from perhaps more higher cost, grocery stores. So for those reasons, I'm not outright bearish on this particular trade, and that's why I'm taking a neutral view, selling a credit spread, collecting some premium here right now as the markets kind of stall, as it kind of potentially consolidates a little bit. So it's a combination of looking at the macro factors and the underlying technicals and fundamentals of the company, and kind of aligning all of those things to the underlying option strategy that I'm trading here.
Very good, Tony. And sometimes we know that fundamental views could take a little while to play out. I mean, as long as the price continues to accommodate your view, meaning either oscillate sideways or go lower, this trade works. Is this the type of thing that you would be kind of carrying your fundamental thoughts forward on and saying, if there's another opportunity in a month, month and a half, I'm thinking about doing the same thing again, maybe at different strikes?
Yeah, but at that time, it has to be where the technicals line up. So you're absolutely right. When the fundamentals story persists, like for example, Apple has been a good example of that, right? I've been outright bearish on Apple for quite some time. I've been very vocal about the fact that 30 times forward earnings on Apple is very expensive given the underlying outlook that I have on of the company. But I only take short positions on Apple when the stock rallies, right? I'm looking for those opportunities where the timing makes adding some bearish exposure is to be optimal. So, the recent negative divergence that we saw here on Walmart was that optimal timing, my perspective, to take that neutral to bearish position here. So going forward, if we get back above that, towards that $100 level again, which I do think that we could very much get there, those are another opportunity to potentially sell another call credit spread here in that market environment. So absolutely, as you can say, the fundamentals take sometimes years to play out, and in that time frame, you have multiple opportunities to actually enter bearish trades, using credit spreads. You just have to use technical analysis to help you time those trades.
Superb breakdown. Tony, we are really at the tail end of the earnings season now with just a couple of major companies in the S&P, or decent sized market capitalization companies, I should say, are still set to report. What are you watching through the end of this week?
Yeah, so one of the stocks that we actually have a bullish position in from last week, which is or from last week, which is Adobe. I've been quite bullish here on the AI theme here over the past few weeks, and we actually just saw Oracle report earnings, a really strong earnings report here yesterday. And that really speaks to the strong demand here for build out of AI infrastructure. And Adobe is one of the companies that actually, is a buyer of that AI infrastructure and that computing power. So, if you look at the strength of Adobe in terms of relative strength going into the earnings announcement. You look at the relatively attractive valuations that Adobe trades at, you know, trading at around 20 times forward earnings, even though net margins are north of 35%. It's one of the few companies that actually is monetizing an AI product right now. So for those reasons, I think that you have a nice setup here for Adobe going into earnings, where they could potentially surprise to the upside. The relative strength is strong. The valuation support what could be a potential big move here on earnings for Adobe. And I think right now the expected implied move here is around 6.5% here on Adobe going into earnings this afternoon.
Keep an eye on Adobe after the close. Very interesting, Tony. We do have a look back, of course, to take a peek at. I mean, this one worked out beautifully. Don't we wish as traders that all of them were this way? Tony, talk to us about the Oracle trade.
Yeah, we laid out a bullish thesis here on Oracle a couple of weeks ago where we bought the August 170, 190 call vertical here. We paid about $7.25 for this $20 wide debit spread. As you saw, earnings came out substantially better than expected here yesterday. The stock's up about 14% here today. So that spread that we bought for $7.25 is now worth about $15.40. And I advocate that at this point, it is because we are above the upper strike of that call spread, it is time to close out that trade. That equates to about a 109% return on the capital that was invested on this particular trade. On top of that, I do think for investors who continue to believe in this AI story and this AI theme, that there's potentially further upside here for Oracle. And this is an opportunity for traders who, you know, did participate on this trade to potentially turn what is a good win or decent sized win into potentially a home run by rolling this. And that's what I'm going to be looking at, is rolling it to the August 200, 220 call spread. So I'm maintaining a $20 wide debit spread. I'm basically recentering it based on the current price of the stock, which is around $200. And I'm buying a 200, 220 call spread for about $7.20. Now, if you factor into the gains that we made on the first trade into the second trade, this now means that the minimum gain that we can make on this particular trade is going to be $95. So even if the second trade goes completely south and we lose 100% of the premium that we pay on the second trade, we would still come out with a $95 gain on the overall trade once you consider the roll. And then if Oracle is above that 220 strike by that August expiration, which at this point we still have, you know, about 2 months to go here, you have well over, you know, roughly a $2,100 potential gain on this particular trade. So this is a good example of when the market proves your thesis to be correct, here's an opportunity where you can turn what is already a nice size gain into a home run.
Yeah, no technical resistance either, Tony. Brand new all-time highs here for Oracle today as we sit right after its earnings announcement. Folks, this does bring us to a close. It was a lot of fun. I do want to remind everybody, we are going to be off for a few weeks, coming back on July 10th. Tony is going to be taking a little bit of a break here as well. Tony, thank you so much for bringing all of your ideas to the show and explaining all of the complexities of trading options for our audiences here.
Thank you so much, KV. It's a pleasure to be here.
Excellent, folks. Don't forget, everything that we do here on the Strategy Desk can be found by going to fidelity.com/coaching. We are in front of camera and mic every single day for multiple hours a day. We'd be glad to have you. We do a follow-up to this particular show every Friday that can be found by going to fidelity.com/InTheMoneyFollowUp. And for those of you who are looking for something to read over the next 3 weeks while we're away, sign up for the Fidelity's Active Investor Newsletter. That is fidelity.com/Active Investor Weekly. Take care, everybody. We'll see you in a few weeks, July 10th. Stay safe until then.
Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Options trading entails significant risk and is not appropriate for all investors. Certain complex option strategies carry additional risk. Before trading options, contact Fidelity Investments by calling 800-544-5115 to receive a copy of Characteristics and Risks of Standardized Options. Supporting documentation for any claims, if applicable, will be furnished upon request. There are additional costs associated with option strategies that call for multiple purchases and sales of options such as spreads, straddles, and collars as compared with a single option trade. Technical analysis focuses on market action, specifically volume and price. Technical analysis is only one approach to analyzing stocks. When considering which stocks to buy or sell, you should use the approach that you are most comfortable with. As with all your investments, you must make your own determination as to whether an investment in any particular security or securities is right for you based on your investment objectives, risk tolerance, and financial situation. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Greeks are mathematical calculations used to determine the effect of various factors on options. Views expressed are as of the date indicated, based on the information available at that time, and may change based on market or other conditions. Unless otherwise noted, the opinions provided are those of Options Play and are not necessarily those of Fidelity Investments or its affiliates. Fidelity does not assume any duty to update any of the information. News, commentary, market data, and research reports are from third-party sources unaffiliated with Fidelity, unless otherwise noted, and are provided for informational purposes only. Fidelity does not endorse or adopt third-party content. Fidelity makes no guarantee that the information supplied is accurate, complete, or timely, and does not provide any warranties regarding results obtained from their use.
Information provided in the podcast is general in nature, is provided for informational purposes only, and should not be construed as investment or tax advice. Fidelity Investments disclaims any liability for any direct or incidental loss incurred by applying any of the information in this podcast. This podcast is intended for U.S. persons only and is not a solicitation for any Fidelity product or service. This podcast is provided for your personal non-commercial use and is the copyrighted work of FMR LLC. You may not reproduce this podcast in whole or in part in any form without the permission of FMR LLC.
Any screenshots, charts, or company trading symbols mentioned are provided for illustrative purposes only and should not be considered as an offer to sell, a solicitation of an offer to buy, or a recommendation for the security. Options Play and Fidelity Investments are independent entities and are not legally affiliated. The third-party trademarks appearing herein are the property of their respective owners. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.